Okay, so it is my privilege to introduce Betsy Ringer. I've been so excited to hear her talk. Betsy has been helping people discover their design to live more fulfilling lives for more years than she cares to admit. Her master's degree plus a training as a personality specialist and life coach have given her skills to bring out the best in others in a practical way. She developed the management training department at Scripps Clinic and Research Foundation. She also served on staff at two churches as a strategist, team builder, and teacher. When she worked on the iBloom team, she trained Christian entrepreneurs all over the world and authored several books and resources. Betsy has been married for 35 years, congratulations, has three adult children, two daughters in love, and two grandchildren. An adventurer at heart, she has jeeped in deserts, landed on a glacier in a helicopter, hiked to remote waterfalls, parasailed over whales in Mexico, and went whitewater rafting in Alaska. You will find her adventurous spirit contagious, laugh at her remarkable stories, and apply many ahas to your life. Betsy Ringer.
Okay, we just put this on. We hope it stays. Can you hear me okay? All right, great. I am so happy to be here with you. One of the churches where I served on staff, we developed a mom's group. And it was my very favorite ministry because I remember when mine were little, oh my gosh, I would have loved to have had some place like this to come to. So you are all near and dear to my heart, and it just makes me so happy to see all of you out there. And so let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you have noticed that there are people in the world who are different from you? Okay, oh yeah. And how many of you live with some of those people? Okay, now let me ask you this one. And how many of you have tried to change them? And did it ever work? No, it never works because, you see, we can't control anybody else, can we? We can just control and adjust ourselves. And so that's what we're going to learn today. And in Romans 12:18, it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So far as it depends on who?
You.
And if we don't know how other people are wired, how are we going to get along with them? How are we going to create some peace? Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, except for that which is helpful for building other people up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. So we're supposed to build other people up according to whose needs? Their needs. But if we don't know what their needs are, how are we going to build them up? Well, we usually build other people up according to our needs, don't we? And then we wonder why that didn't work. Well, you know, we all come prepackaged at birth with hair color, eye color, intelligence, body build. And recent gene mapping has shown that personality is included in that. So we are born with our personality. Now, how many of you have more than one child? And are they different? Yes, yes. And how soon did you figure that out? Yeah, most people say, well, right away. And a lot of people say, when I was carrying them. Yeah, so we didn't really need science to tell us that. But it's kind of nice to know that that backs us up. You know, as we mature, we learn to manage our weaknesses a little bit better, and we learn how to make our strengths work for us. And as we come closer to God, He helps us too. The Holy Spirit really works within us. But we still have that basic personality that the more we learn about ourselves and the more we learn about how other people are wired, the better we can be how Jesus would like us to be. Now, Hippocrates was the first person credited with recognizing that people behaved pretty much in four personality styles. Now, you're not going to find these in the Bible. It's man's theory. So I don't want to leave you with the impression that, oh yeah, this is in the Bible, because it's not. But God does want us to learn how to get along better with one another. So this is one way, just one way that we can do that. Now, Hippocrates thought we had one of these personality styles because of excess body fluids. Well, since then we've learned it's not because of that, but it is in our DNA. So I'm going to use the words that Hippocrates used, and that's why they sound kind of funny. Sanguine means blood. The other ones, well, we'll deal with that later. But and then I also give a descriptive word on the front of each, just to help you remember what they're all about. So think about you and who you are most naturally, and think about how you were as a child, and then how you were as you were growing up. Don't think about how you think you should be, or how you want to be, or how your mother wants you to be. And then in your packets today, there's a page that looks like this. It has four boxes. It's a chart. And each box is a description of the four personality styles. So what I'd like for you to do is read over those descriptions. You're not going to be all of one particular one, but there will be one that you kind of go, oh yeah, that's me. There might be two that resonate with you. So just take a minute and look over those descriptions and see if you can identify the one that resonates with you the most. As we go along, you'll get a little clearer in that, but it's nice to start off kind of thinking what you might be. While you finish doing that, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. Now, I have three grown children, and my oldest child is named Brendan, and he's now 34. But when he was young, we fixed up our basement because we wanted to be that house where all the kids came and hung out. And so we got the basement all fixed up, and I said, hey, Brent, why don't you invite a bunch of kids over and we'll order some pizza, we'll get a movie, we've got the ping pong table, it'll be so much fun. He didn't invite anybody over. So I tried again. Hey, Brent, why don't you invite a bunch of kids over and I'll get some fixings for Sundays and we've got the basketball goal outside and the dartboard, it's going to be so much fun. He didn't invite anybody over. So then I finally thought, you know, he's not wired like me. And so I said, hey, Bryn, why don't you invite Tommy over? And I'll take you and Tommy up to the movie store. You can pick out a movie. We'll stop and get a pizza. Come home and you guys can just hang out together. He invited Tommy over because he's much more of a one-on-one kind of a kid. And so I was so glad that I realized that he was just wired differently. Now, sometimes I say my husband cooks. What that means is he makes waffles. And so one morning he was making waffles for the family. And you know, the one who makes waffles is the last one to sit down to eat. So the rest of us were at the table and we had buttered our waffles and put the syrup on, cut, and we were talking and laughing and eating. And my husband comes over with his waffle and he sits down. And you know how you can kind of tell somebody's staring at you? And so I looked over at him, and he was actually staring at my waffles. And he goes, the lines, why don't you cut on the lines? I looked at my waffles and I said, you know, if I had noticed there were lines, I probably would have cut diagonally on purpose. One's not right, one's not wrong, it's just different, isn't it? And so that's the important thing to realize, is that we are wired differently. And other people aren't living in this world trying to see how they can annoy us. They're really just wired in a different way. They're probably wondering the same thing about us. All right, so now one of the things, you know, I always wanted to have kids. Always. But the thing that I was not prepared for was that mother bear kind of love that I had for each child, that I wanted to protect them no matter what. So we're going to use the acrostic LOVE as we go through the lesson this morning. So we're going to learn about the personality styles. We're going to observe our family. We'll learn how to vary our response depending on which personality we're dealing with. And then once we do all of that, we can enjoy richer and fuller and more meaningful relationships. So let's start off with the learn about the personality styles. Now, we can't very well walk up to somebody and say, you know, I'd like to get to know you better. Could you just take this little test right here for me? You know, that really doesn't go over very well. But there are certain clues that people give us that help us identify them. And so we have what I call conspicuous clues, and these are the visible clues that we have just by looking at people. Then we have the classified clues, and those are people's strengths and weaknesses. And then we have the concealed clues, and those are our internal needs. And these would be with the people that we're closest to. And it's very important to know what their internal needs are so that we can help give those to them. So let's start with the conspicuous clues. And we're going to start off with the playful sanguine first, because they're the easiest to identify. And they don't care if we talk about them. Their basic desire is to have fun. They're usually loud. They have a loud voice. They laugh heartily and often. They may have loud clothing, like bright colors. They might wear the trendy clothes or have a little touch of rebellion. They are more open. They have an open mouth, an open life. They have big gestures. They're the ones that will hang on to you because they don't want you to get away until they tell you their latest and greatest story. Now, our proper melancholy, we talk about them next because they are the second most obvious to identify. And their basic desire is for perfection. Where the sanguine is loud, the melancholy is quiet. They have a quieter voice. They have quieter clothing. They usually wear clothes that are more classic, traditional, with enduring value, probably a navy blue or khaki color. Where the sanguine is open, the melancholy is closed. For a sanguine, they feel compelled to fill the silence, where the melancholy is very comfortable with silence. the melancholies have a closed life, where the sanguine thinks every bad experience makes a great story. The melancholy thinks, you know, there are some things that just should be kept private. Now, if the sanguine forgets and runs up to a melancholy to hug them, what will that melancholy do? Step back a little bit. As my son says, you're standing in my bubble. So they have this imaginary bubble that they don't want people coming closer than that. They need space in their home, their car, and their office. Now, the third most obvious to identify is the powerful choleric. And their basic desire is to have control. Now, we can't tell them as much by their clothing, because their clothing is more functional than fashionable. They like to look good, but they don't want to be fussy about it. But we can tell the choleric by the air that they bring into the room. They walk into the room with confidence. And if they are somebody who is positive in your life, the room will fill with excitement. If it's somebody who is not so positive in your life, then they're going to fill the room with stress and turmoil. The choleric is very focused and intense. You really notice them. They bring attention to themselves. Where the melancholy is the greatest respecter of space, the choleric is the greatest invader of space. They might back you into a wall if you don't be careful. Then our peaceful phlegmatic, we talk about them last because they're a little more difficult to identify. Their main desire is for peace. They have balanced, even, consistent qualities. Where the choleric brings that air of turbulence into the room, the phlegmatic will bring an air of peaceful, calming presence. Their clothing is more comfortable and relaxed. And sometimes I call them the chameleons of the personalities, because of all the personalities, when they need to, they can behave like any of the other personalities. So if they need to, they can be fun and outgoing and silly, but that's not where they live. They'll come back to these peaceful, quiet, consistent qualities. If they are asked to take charge, they can do that. Or if they need to be neat and tidy, they can do that. But this is where they live the most of the time. So if any of you are looking at your chart and you go, well, I'm all of these, you're probably a phlegmatic. And if you're having trouble figuring out what somebody else is, think about if they are a phlegmatic. All right, so we have our conspicuous clues just by looking at somebody and seeing that. And then we have our classified clues. And these are the strengths and weaknesses of each personality. The sanguine, remember, they have fun, they talk a lot, they're full of energy and enthusiasm. But if you're a sanguine, realize that other people might see you as phony. And it's only because people will say, nobody can be that happy. But sanguines really are. In fact, one of their mottos is, phony joy is better than genuine depression. The melancholy, they are deep and thoughtful. They're orderly, they're detail-oriented. But a caution for anybody who's a melancholy is just to realize that other people might see you as critical. Well, you're not really being critical. You just know there's a right way to do things. The choleric, they're goal-oriented. They're born leaders. Any of the personalities can be a leader. They'll just do it in a different way. But for some reason, we tend to look to the choleric to be a leader. But what you need to realize is that you're so focused that other people might see you as aloof. Now, the phlegmatic, they're easygoing, they have a dry sense of humor, they avoid conflicts. But phlegmatics, everybody else need to be careful of phlegmatics, because they seem so nice and sweet, but they have this underlying will of iron. And if you push them too much, they are very stubborn, they will dig in their heels, and they'll control other people through their passive-aggressive behavior. Oh, I was just going to do that. All right, so now, you may be going, you know, I think I'm a couple of these. I think I might be a couple. So there are combinations, and basically the combinations, you know, it's just a little bit of each one. And usually the stronger personality is softened by one of the other personalities. So, for example, if you are you might say, well, I think I'm a sanguine choleric. If you're a sanguine choleric, then people see you as being turbocharged. And you tend to overwhelm other people because of your energy and activity. You are fun yet driven. You can be in charge of a lot, but it's going to be in a fun way. You might say, well, I think I'm a choleric melancholy. Well, if you are, you're one of the worker bees of life. Many of our CEOs are choleric melancholies. You can get the job done. You can be in charge of a lot, but you want it done in a perfect way. Maybe you think you are a phlegmatic melancholy. If you are, chances are you're an introvert, which, being an introvert, you still like people. It just means you get your energy from being alone. You love people. You love being with people, but then you need to get away and be alone. And a lot of phlegmatic melancholies will see them as educators because they have so much insight. They like to do research. They care for people, and they want to help them succeed. They want things done perfectly, but not if it causes problems. Or you might think you are a sanguine phlegmatic. If you're a sanguine phlegmatic, everybody needs a sanguine phlegmatic in their lives because they are people. They are the best friends you could possibly have. They are easy to get along with, and they are lots of fun. But they like to have fun, but not if they have to be the ones to plan it. So if you have a sanguine phlegmatic in your life, you're going to love them, but just remember, you're going to have to initiate. Okay, so let's go on to the concealed clues. Now, as we talk about these different personalities, think about the people in your life. Think about your husband. Think about your children. Maybe your mother-in-law. Think about the people who are in your life and maybe just jot down if you think you can identify what their personality style is. How many of you think you might be a sanguine? It's okay to admit it. How many of you think you might be a melancholy? How about a choleric? Do we have a room of phlegmatics? How many of you think you're phlegmatic? Wow. Well, I think we need lots of phlegmatics. We need our world to be a little more peaceful, don't we? And to put up with everybody else. All right, so let's go to our concealed clues. These are our internal or our emotional needs. It's kind of like our air hose. And they are needs that we have that we don't even realize we have, but they drive our behavior. And if we don't get these needs met, what we do is go into overdrive. We go into the excess of our personality, and that's not very attractive, and it usually drives people away rather than get our needs met. But it's just we don't even realize we're doing it. So the sanguine needs attention, affection, approval, and acceptance as is. Their biggest fear is being rejected or not being included. Now, you may think they haven't done anything that warrants approval, but you need to practice your wonder words on them. Say, "That's fabulous. You look fantastic today. Oh, I just love being with you. You're awesome. Your enthusiasm is contagious." These words will go a long way with our sanguine. Remember, sanguines talk a lot. So if they don't get their needs met, they're going to talk faster and longer and more and louder. So it would behoove you to get their needs met. Now, I have a good friend who she and her husband know all about the personalities. And one morning she had fixed breakfast. And I mean, it was a great breakfast with fresh squeezed orange juice and bacon and eggs and some yummy toast and coffee. And so she called her husband to the table and they sat down. She put the napkin on her lap and she looked at her husband and she said, "So, honey, how's your breakfast?" And he said, being a melancholy, he said, "Fine." And she said, "Wrong answer." And she picked up his plate and she walked into the kitchen. She came back out and she said, "Let's try this again." She put the plate down in front of him. She sat down, put the napkin back on her lap and said, "So, honey, how's your breakfast?" And he said, "This is the best breakfast I've ever had." All right, so she was a sanguine. She needed those wonder words. He was a melancholy. And for a melancholy, fine is about as good as it gets. But for a sanguine, oh no, we do not want to live a life of fine. We need that excitement and that joy from other people in our lives. So he had to learn to adjust, which he could, and give her what she needed. All right, so our melancholy, their emotional needs, they need space, sensitivity, and silence. They need time to be alone. They also want people to be sensitive to their feelings. So care enough to slow down, sit down, and tone down. Don't try to fix them or cheer them up right away. Let them work through it. They're processors. Our choleric, their internal need is for achievement and appreciation. You may want them to slow down and not work so hard, but what they need from you is, "I don't know how you do so much. You know, this place would fall apart without you. You make such a difference." They work hard because they want to make a difference in other people's lives and in the world. And so you may think it's obvious. You're working so hard, it's obvious, but they need to be told. Of course, they don't think they need to be told, but they do. The phlegmatic, they need respect and self-worth. Sometimes it's difficult to give the phlegmatic respect and self-worth because they don't seem to be real productive. They are. It's just at a little bit slower pace, and they're not flashy about it, and they're not going to ask you to give them kudos for it. But value them for who they are, not what they do. Most of us unintentionally value other people for what they do. But the phlegmatics kind of have it right. Value me for who I am, not what I do. Let them know that you appreciate them and value their sense of harmony in your life. Okay, so now let's take all of that information and let's apply it to our families. All right, so we're going to observe our family because that's what you have to do first. You have to observe them, see what they are doing. All right, so we've identified ourselves. How many of you have identified your husband? And how many of you figured out your husband is your opposite? Sometimes it seems like a cosmic joke, doesn't it? But, you know, I think God, that's God's way of teaching us sacrificial love. All right. So as you learn about each personality, your own personality and everybody close to you, then you can learn to adjust yourself to get along better with them so that they can hear what you have to say to them. All right. So in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So observe your child's personality and help them grow into their strengths and manage their weaknesses. So I'm going to give you some examples of behaviors in children, and these examples might help you in identifying behaviors you've observed in your own children. And I'm also going to give you some examples of how you can vary your response to help your child. Okay, so let's talk about our sanguine first. And that, remember, the sanguine likes fun and excitement. They talk a lot. They have a big imagination. And they're eager to please. The sanguine child needs a lot of attention, approval, affection, and acceptance as is. They like to be involved in all kinds of things. Now, my daughter Laura is a sanguine, and she is now 27. Here she is when she was a little one. All right. So now she has always talked very loudly. And we would sometimes say, Laura, we're right here. I would send her out when it was dinner time. I would send her out on the deck, and we had woods down below. And I would have her call the boys into dinner. And they could hear her. They couldn't hear me, but they could hear her. When she was 3 and in preschool, one day I went, and when I arrived, they said, guess what Laura did? I said, what? And they said, she sang all 3 verses of Me and My Teddy in front of 100 kids. Well, it didn't surprise me. She loves to entertain. Now, do you have a sanguine story? Think about your kids. Think about kids you know. Think about yourself when you were a child. Now, I think most of us would recognize Jim Carrey as a sanguine. Well, when he was in school, he was very disruptive in class, as you can imagine. Well, one teacher finally figured him out, and she said, you know, Jim, if you will pay attention during the day, at the end of the day, I'll give you 10 minutes to entertain the rest of the kids. And it worked, because he knew he would have that time to do his entertainment. He just needed to know. All right, so for our sanguine, how do we vary our response for a little sanguine, especially if you're not a sanguine, if you're a melancholy? You know, what do you do? Well, first of all, make things fun. I used to have when it was time to work, and with a with a choleric, when the choleric works, everybody works. And so I would have the Sparkle and Bright team, and I had this little pink visor for her, and in glitter I'd put Sparkle and Bright on it, and she had her own little bucket, and, you know, we would go around, and we'd put the music on and danced, and I would give her something to do while I worked, too. So she was included. Remember, they want to be included and part of. That's very important. When they are down, they want to be cheered up. Now, I used to have grouch glasses. You know, those are those black glasses with the big nose and the hairy mustache hair. And so when she would get in a mood, I would put those grouch glasses on her. She couldn't stay in a bad mood for long. Another motto for our sanguine is ice cream cures everything. So if your little sanguine is down, go get some ice cream or make cookies together. Do a craft together. If you do a craft together, it's for fun, not perfection. All right? So have fun with them. Allow your little sanguine to wear anything that really expresses themselves. And I know some of you are cringing at that. But for your little sanguine, they will have fun with that. Compliment them. Be specific. Give them your approval. That's a good choice you made. You are so much fun to be with. You are kind and nice to everyone. Being with you is like being with sunshine. I just love the way you are. All right, so let's think about our melancholy child. Remember, the melancholy is quieter and more serious. They think deeply and they're sensitive. They like structure. The melancholy child needs space to call his own. Kind of a retreat away from his noisy, messy siblings. They need sensitivity to their deep desires. My son, Brendan, as I said before, is a melancholy. And if you look over here, you can see he's the melancholy sitting straight up in his chair. And then Eric is the choleric, and he's just like all over the place. Now, some of you might be wondering, typically the firstborn would be either choleric or melancholy. Not all the time, but typically you would see that. So if the firstborn is choleric, the secondborn might be melancholy. Not always. Sometimes they're sanguine or phlegmatic or whatever, depending on how many are in the family. So just kind of keep that in mind. Many, many times the sanguine is the youngest in the family. Again, not always, but many times it turns out that way. Now, when Brendan was a preschooler, I took him to McDonald's, and he got his little Happy Meal, and he opened his bag and reached in, and he pulled out his hamburger, and he unwrapped it. He took off the top bun and he went, "Mom, look, they didn't even put the hamburger in the center of the bun." So when he turned 16 and he said, "You know, I think I'll go get a job at Wendy's." And we said, "Honey, no, they won't care if the hamburgers are lined up straight on the grill, and you'll have to move really fast." And so he decided maybe a small local coffee shop would suit his style better, and it did. Now, also when he was a preschooler and elementary age, well, for that matter, all the way into adulthood. Anyway, he would stand at the playground and he would watch the other kids play. And he would do that for however long it took him, until he kind of saw how things were working and, you know, what to do on the play equipment, and then he would go and do that. And even when we had a boat and we went boating on the lakes, this was back in Kentucky, and we went boating on their beautiful lakes, he would have his brother Eric try things out first, and then he would try it. Do you have a melancholy story? Think about children who always follow the rules or get upset when they're criticized and who keep their workspace organized. Help bring out their strengths. So how do you vary your response with a melancholy child? Spend time with them in meaningful conversation. Brendan sometimes would just come up to me and he'd say, "Mom, let's talk." Okay. And I'd say, "Well, do you want to pick the topic or do you want me to?" And so he might pick the topic and we would exhaust that one, and then I would pick the topic and we would exhaust that. So they like to talk. They like that one-on-one interaction and they enjoy talking. Give them choices, but give them time to think through what their answer is. Like I said, they're processors, and it might take them a little time to really analyze it. Be sensitive to them. Now, with them, don't try to cheer them up right away. Don't use grouch glasses on your melancholy child. You'll be sorry. Help them learn positive ways to deal with their moods, because they do tend to get moody, and that's okay. They just need to learn how to deal with that. So when they're upset about something, you know, help them learn that maybe they can go throw the basketball, or maybe they can go color and draw, or listen to music and dance, or, you know, there are lots of different things that you can help them channel their feelings. When Brendan was upset, I had to train myself to use what I called my FM DJ voice. And I would sit down next to him and I'd say, "Honey, I know this is really bothering you right now, but I also know you are going to be able to work through it. I'm always here for you to talk to when you need that. Now, why don't you go, let's get out your crayons and you can color for a while if you'd like." He didn't like my loud voice that was always trying to have a party. All right, so then our choleric. Remember, the choleric likes control. They are optimistic, they're goal-oriented, they're natural leaders, they're extroverts. They need appreciation for their achievements, and they also need some opportunities for leadership or something that they can be in charge of. So my son, Eric, is now 29, and he's married. And ever since he was a baby, he was on the go. He would just wriggle out of my lap, and he would crawl over someplace, and he was the kind that would crawl up to an outlet that was covered, and he'd put his finger out, and he'd look up at me, and he would just smile, and when I'd say no, he'd just laugh. He knew who was in control. He was also very daring. So watch out for your cholerics. And one time, I can remember, he ran to jump over a railing. Well, it was a 10-foot drop. I had to say, "Stop!" And he stopped. And then I took him over and showed him the consequences of what he would be doing. You know, one time we were at a shopping mall, and he announced that he was going down to Target. Well, I, you know, was putting the kibosh on that, but I turned around and he was gone. He was 4, and he had found his way down to Target. So they are very determined, and to this day he says, "I told you I was going to Target." So they are just very determined. They know they're powerful. They want, you know, they're just going to do what they want, and they know that they can do it very well. One time when he was playing with Laura, I think Eric was 5 or 6 and Laura was 3 or 4. Eric, in his very authoritative voice, had the baby doll and said, "Laura, this is our baby. When I go away, you take care of the baby. When you go away, I take care of the baby. And Laura, being a little sanguine, said, bye, I'm leaving. So observe your children. You can tell a lot by just watching them as they play. All right, do you have a choleric story? Observe this child who is always stirring things up, who's looking for adventure, who likes to set goals and accomplish them, who like to be in charge of something. Now, how can you vary your response with a choleric child? Well, give them an area of control. Maybe they can be responsible for feeding the pet. Teach them how to cook a meal, and they could do that one night a week. Or maybe their responsibility is setting the table. Write out their chore list and give them like stickers, you know, something that they can see. They know what they're supposed to do. They know by when it's supposed to be done, and they have a way of marking it off the list. And then help them to see how good it feels to accomplish something. Sometimes it's helpful to make a chart and help them set goals. It might be, to work a certain puzzle, to make the goal of working a certain puzzle in a certain amount of time, or to draw a picture for someone else 5 days out of the week, or to set the table for a week, but some sort of goal that they can work on and then celebrate that they accomplished it so that they can see what they've done, and that gives them that good feeling on the inside of accomplishing things. If they're going through some sort of a transition, like a new school or a new addition to the family, or if they seem out of sorts, help them gain control. Because when they feel like they don't have any kind of control anymore, it's really hard on them. So it might be to help with dinner or to plant a garden or, whatever it is. But help them recognize what's going on and help them have something that they have control over. Okay, so our phlegmatic child, and this is my niece who was a phlegmatic. Remember, the phlegmatic is more of a follower. They're easygoing, they're agreeable, and they have a hard time getting motivated. They need peace and relaxation. They need not to be hurried. They need praise and a sense of self-worth, not for what they do, but for who they are. And they need loving motivation. My husband is also a phlegmatic, and my niece is a phlegmatic. Now, my brother and sister-in-law came to me one day when my niece was probably about seven or eight, and they were very concerned because they said she's so disorganized at school that she didn't get excited about anything, and she was so forgetful, and they couldn't figure it out. So I had watched her because she was the firstborn. And so I was expecting her to be, have a more powerful personality, but she was just laid back. She was a firstborn phlegmatic. That's why I say you can't always tell by the birth order. You have to observe your child. Well, once I observed that she was a phlegmatic, I realized that they had put her in a very academically oriented school. And so they expected a lot out of her. And for being such a young age, why? And so once they put her in a different setting that wasn't as structured and demanding, she did just fine. But she was digging in her heels. She was being stubborn. It wasn't that she couldn't do those things. It was just she wasn't going to because she felt pushed. Do you have a phlegmatic story? Look around. Do you know children who have a tough time making decisions? Are you worried about them always being a follower? Do they like to sleep a lot? Do they always seem to have an agreeable disposition? If so, maybe they're a phlegmatic. Well, let's think about these four personalities in school as we talk about our phlegmatic. So your little sanguine comes home from school and says, "Mom, guess what? I was invited to 3 birthday parties." Well, of course you're going to give her appreciation for that. Then your melancholy child comes home and says, "Guess what, Mom? The teacher said I did everything right today, and she is so proud of how she can always count on me to do things just right." Well, of course you're proud of that, aren't you? Well, then your choleric child comes home and says, "Guess what, Mom? The teacher made me the room monitor, and I can hardly wait until she goes out of the room because I already have recognized 2 kids that I'm going to put in line." Well, yes, you are going to appreciate those leadership abilities. The phlegmatic comes home, puts her books up on the counter, opens up the refrigerator and gets something out to eat, goes into the family room and turns on the TV. They didn't do anything wrong in school, but they just didn't do anything to get noticed. And that's the way it is with our little phlegmatics so much of the time. They're easy to get along with, and so, wow, we let them go, and we pay attention to all these other things that are our demands. So just notice that with your little phlegmatic, and help them recognize their opinions and their worth. So how do you vary your response so you can do that with your little phlegmatic? First of all, give them attention. Talk with them, ask them what their opinions are. And at first they're gonna think they don't have any opinions. They'll say, I don't know. But just keep asking them and say, I really wanna know, should we have muffins or bagels for dinner? Just give them a couple of choices. Let them know that what they have to say is important. Invite them to help you do something and let them know what a big help they are. Then help them try some different activities to figure out what they like to do. And again, this might be very frustrating for you because you might try gymnastics and then they go, "Yeah, I don't like that." You might try soccer, and then they'll go, "Yeah, no, I don't like that." You might try lots of things, and you think, "My goodness, how am I ever going to find anything?" Just be patient. Maybe encourage them to stick something out for a while, but be loving. Give them that loving motivation. That will work better than anything else. Help your phlegmatic child learn to value their own opinion, because that's where the biggest thing is, that they just, they're easygoing. If you want to do something, that's fine. And if you take them along, that's okay too. They just don't want to make that decision. But help them learn how to make decisions and how to make choices and how to speak up and talk in a very polite, respectful way to other people. Give them praise and help them know that you value them for who they are, not what they do. Okay, so out of this now, we can enjoy richer relationships. So enjoy watching your children grow into the children and the youth and the adults that God intended them to be. Now, I have to admit, I've made many mistakes, but I am glad I learned about the personalities and was able to help my kids identify their strengths, live into their strengths, and manage their weaknesses. My kids tell me that besides teaching them about God, the best thing I ever taught them was about the personalities, because it helped them get along better with their friends, their teachers, and now their employers. And so it's a very valuable thing you can teach your kids. Now, Brendan, my proper melancholy, went to college and he was studying digital design, which is a combination of computers and creative kinds of things, design, drawing, that kind of thing. Well, he's now the creative director at his church, and he has a family of his own. Eric, my powerful choleric, he has grown in his leadership abilities. He was the class president all 4 years of high school. And while he was working on his master's, he started a company. That company now has 50 employees, and it was just recently bought by Verizon. Laura, my little playful sanguine, she loves to perform, and she was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She was on the dance team. She performed in many plays and musicals, and she's now always recognized for her good people skills and team building at her place of work. My little phlegmatic niece, well, her parents learned how to motivate her gently and to appreciate her for who she is, and to help her find an area of accomplishment. In fact, many people were surprised as she took on this very determined attitude in Taekwondo. She's now studying to be a pharmacist. So enjoy your relationships. Remember to send the message that you love your child for who they are. Play with them, interact with them, talk with them, get to know them. Learn about the personality styles and how God has wired each one differently. Observe your family. Vary your response according to their needs to help them grow, and then enjoy richer relationships. All right, I think we have just a few minutes. If anybody, I can't guarantee I have the answer, but if anybody has some questions, while you're thinking about questions, let me show you something real quick. Okay, so you can even use greeting cards. And so this one says, don't look back. And it says, look ahead to another year of adventure. That might be for a sanguine. All right, this one is good. This is the curmudgeon lady. And it's, heard you're sick, sissy. Yeah, yeah. And this one is the music of life. Friendship is a glorious melody. Well, that's already our melancholy. And this is my favorite. To the guy I love, your dad who does it all, eventually. That would be for my phlegmatic husband. All right, questions? Yes.
What type of preschool would each personality be best suited for?
You know, I think anyone. I think preschools, what's that?
That's not helpful.
I know. I mean, I didn't know there were different types of preschools, I guess, is my big thing.
Oh,
you know,
well,
are
like
there?
Montessori is very structured. Oriented, so I think that's the choleric.
Choleric, yeah.
Choleric, and then there's a...
Melancholy would do well there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not... And I mean, my guess is the Montessori, even the Montessori school, they recognize there are different kinds of kids, and they will help them adjust. You know, but I would think the choleric and melancholy would do the best. It would be more natural for them there. Yeah.
Do you recommend using these labels with your kids, the personality labels?
Not until they get older. Yeah, probably maybe mid to upper elementary. I think that's when I started with my kids. Yeah, yeah. Or you could say, you know, you seem to be, you know, very playful. And just help them identify their particular strengths. And you can, you know, go around the neighborhood and take pictures, see what they're interested in taking pictures of, and then put those up in their room. You know, we all have weaknesses, don't we? And we used to think we would help people improve on their weaknesses to make them well-rounded. But then we found out that when you did that, it made people average. Because the best you can, you know, when you have certain weaknesses and struggles, I mean, they're just part of your life. And you want to manage them, but you're, you know, I'm never going to be neat and tidy and organized. And I say, I have a master's degree, and I'm not neat and tidy and organized. And I can kill myself trying to be, or I can just realize, you know, I just need to manage that and look at my other skills better. I don't know if that helped or not, but all right, good, good. Yes. God bless you. So what personality do you think you are?
I am the proper melancholy of color. Me is like totally
phlegmatic. And you know, I am sorry to say, maybe it's because I am a sanguine choleric. And I have a phlegmatic husband, and I used to have a phlegmatic boss. Oh my goodness. It was so hard because it was like, hello? Hello? Now, my husband will do whatever I want to do. But that's
not.
He's what?
Stubborn.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes. Yeah, they are stubborn. And so the best, I guess, I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I knew the magic answer, but I don't have one. But I guess the best is ask questions, you know, and to build them up. You know, they really, I know my husband loves to be built up. And to ask, you know, things that you think might be interesting to him. And, you know, and it's like they're probably the ones that if you ask them to take out the trash, they'll go, you know, because they'll do it in their time. Or,
aren't all husbands phlegmatic?
What's, what, say that again?
Aren't all husbands phlegmatic?
Okay, yeah. 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 Well, choleric husbands, they work all day and they come home and they work all night too. You know, and you want them to sit down and relax a little bit. So there, that's a different one. But anyway, good luck. Let me know. What you find out, and I'll incorporate it into my next talk. I'll give you my number. Yes.
How soon can you identify these qualities in your children?
You know, that's a very, very good question, and we want to be very careful not to label them too soon. And we want to keep watching them and just know, be relaxed about it and know they might change. And Eric, I thought for sure he was a sanguine choleric because he was the most fun kid. And oh my gosh, he would do the silliest things. And he was just fantastic to be around because I'm a sanguine choleric. And I thought for sure that's what he was. But as he got older, it was like, did I sap the fun out of this kid? You know, what happened to him? And I was afraid I had done something wrong. But no, he was really a choleric melancholy. And he's one that now he'll say, I want to be a CEO of a company. You know, so it was just, choleric colleagues are also people oriented, and they can be fun too. And so it was just as a child, that's what was coming out. And probably because I'm really playful, you know, that playful side just came out in him. But as he got older, you know, it was that he developed the melancholy side more. So just watch them, you know, help them be the best they can be. But just know that you might think they're one way, but as they grow, you might go, oh, no, I think it's something else. So, yeah, good question. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Well, I think Dana has something for you. Thank you so much for letting me come and be with you. I'm gonna be here for a while, so if you have any questions, you can come ask me.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh,
I do have one question. Yeah. I have a melancholy child.
Let me just make sure this is off. Maybe you can help me take it off.